So we are walking through the questions that you asked and kind of turned in on those little slips a couple months ago. Here is the most requested topic. Like every year I do this, I get this topic, okay? Because it's something we all deal with. It's something we constantly deal with. So it's just one that it's on somebody's mind every year, and I get this one all the time when it's on a slip of paper. And let's be honest, why? Because relationships matter. Relationships matter in our life. They're the central part of our life, relationships are. And when relationships get broken, they are painful. They're painful when they get broken. And we would love to be able to just kind of put everything back together again and just pretend like nothing ever happened, and that never works because they're just painful. And we have to figure out how do we move forward when the relationships around us, and some of them we have to see on a regular basis, are broken, and in their brokenness, they're very, very painful things for us to figure out and realize how on earth are we going to make things work in these broken relationships. Now, I'm not going to probably tell you anything you haven't heard this morning, like, wow, we're supposed to forgive? I didn't know that word was in the Bible, okay? I doubt any of you are thinking that, okay? The problem is, forgiveness is easy to know about, but it's really difficult to do. I mean, if all we had to do was know about forgiveness, probably most of you could come up here and say about everything I'm going to say this morning, okay? It's nothing new, nothing you haven't read, nothing you haven't heard if you've been in church for a while. Yeah, I know I'm supposed to forgive. All right, so why do we talk about it? Why is it requested all the time? Because it's really hard to do. It's difficult. It's hard. And so often, we get confused on what it means, and so we don't know what to do, and we get in these broken relationships, and they're painful, and we're just confused. What do we do? So we know what to do. We know what the Bible says. We know we're supposed to forgive. But boy, forgiving is something totally different. Actually going through the act and actually forgiving somebody is totally different. So I'm going to open a passage to you you've probably read before. It's in Matthew chapter 18. You can follow along. You can open up the Bible app. All the verses are in there, and you can follow along with us. And before we get to the passage I want to look at, I have to back up just a little bit in the chapter so you understand the context of why Peter is going to ask the question to Jesus that he asked, okay? And we've gone over this passage before. Then in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus talks about this whole way how to deal with broken relationships. He starts it off this way. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. And he goes on, and it's step by step. Hey, relationships are going to get broken. Jesus understood that. They're going to get broken. Walk through these steps to try to move forward in those relationships and try to put what's broken back together. And Jesus gave us this whole method of how to do it. And so Jesus gets done explaining all these steps. Here's what you do. You need to go talk to the person. Ignoring it doesn't work. Moving away doesn't work, okay? Pretending the person doesn't exist doesn't work. Go to them. Try to work it out. Move forward in it. And here comes Peter's question. Probably most of the disciples were thinking this, okay? Because Jesus had just laid out all this stuff for them. He just laid all of this out. And then Peter says this. Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times. So he kind of makes his own answer here, okay? Because he's got a question. Okay, Jesus, we're supposed to go through this process, and I'm supposed to go talk to them, and we're supposed to work things out. But Jesus, if I told you my story, would you give me a hall pass and tell me I not have to do this, okay? You don't understand. And Peter, it could be lots of things in Peter's life, okay? We know some about Peter's life. It could have stemmed back from when he was in business with my dad. I know you told me I'm supposed to forgive, but you don't understand my dad. And you don't understand all this pressure of you left my fishing business to go follow Jesus, okay? What am I going to do now? You don't understand what that's like, Jesus. Every single family meeting, all I get asked is, really? Are you going to give up this Jesus thing and come back and we can start this business over again? Maybe it was that. Maybe it was family issues. Maybe it was something else. But Peter had something in mind as Jesus is walking through this process. Go talk to them, Peter. Work things out. And he's just like, how many times am I going to do this? Can I reach a point where I give up on a person and just write them off and say, never going to work. Good luck. I just can't do anything with you. Okay? That's almost what he's asking. Jesus, I've dealt with this. I've heard it enough at family gatherings. I have to see this person all the time. How many times should I forgive them? And then he kind of offers this answer up of seven times. I don't know if he meant once a day. Seven times, it's once a day. Is that how many times I get to forgive them? He meant seven times over a lifetime. I don't know. But he throws out this answer of seven times. And so Jesus looks at him and says, no, not seven times. 70 times seven. Okay, so you math whiz, that's 490, okay? I actually had to do that on a calculator, I'm not that good at math, so that's the, right? So that's the number, okay? So what does Jesus mean by that number? And all he's trying to do is he's trying to explain a big number here, okay? He's trying to make it so big that Peter goes, oh, well, gosh, I haven't done that, right? Maybe seven, maybe Peter almost got to seven, maybe been past seven, but Jesus just expands this. And says, no, the forgiveness is something we need to constantly be moving towards in the broken relationships that we have. We need to move towards them and constantly move towards them. And so that he just didn't leave them hanging. And so Jesus didn't leave us hanging and go, what on earth this means and how can we do that? And Jesus, you don't understand my family. Jesus, you don't understand my work environment. Jesus, you don't understand what it's like living in my neighborhood. He tells a story. As only Jesus could do, he tells a story to try to make a point of why you and I should be willing to forgive somebody. Even somebody who just continues to do the same things over and over again, and you wish they would stop, and every year it gets brought up, why you and I should forgive. So he tells a story, okay? Therefore, Jesus says, the kingdom of God can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him, okay? No bank in the first century, you go to the king, okay? And the king borrows you money. How interesting is that, right? That's where you go for your loans, okay? So it's a little more risk probably involved when you're going to the king. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. Okay, I don't know how you rack that much up in the first century, okay? But it's a large number. It's a huge number. It's lots and lots of money. This guy just kept racking it up and racking it up. He kept digging the hole deeper and deeper, promising the king, King, I promise I'll pay it off. King, just let me get through Dave Ramsey's snowball. I promise I'll pay it off, right? I will get this done. So he's wanting to, but anyway, he's in deep. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owed to pay the debt. A little bit different in the first century. There's no bankruptcy. You go to prison, okay? That's where you go. If you can't pay, and it's not just you, everybody in the family gets to go and have a nice little trip in prison to pay off the debt, okay? And you were in there so long and did so many things in order to pay off the debt. So it's very different, except this guy has a huge debt he owes. And somehow it's got to get paid, and somehow it's got to be dealt with. So we continue on. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me, and I will pay it all. Then his master, watch what happens, he's filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. That's got to be a good day. Wouldn't you think? Come on. If you got a letter tomorrow from your mortgage company just saying, you know, we drew your name out of a hat. We think you're great. And your mortgage is forgiven. That'd be a pretty good day. Okay? That'd be pretty awesome. It's gone. It's forgiven. The big hole this guy dug himself into has been filled up. And he is off the hook. He's free. This huge amount, all this stuff, he has forgotten. All of it. It's been forgiven. It's gone. Okay? Now here's where the story twists, as only Jesus can do. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant, okay, who owed him a few thousand dollars. Okay? See the contrast? One is massive, big, huge hole. How am I going to get out of it? Next is a smaller amount. And he grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. Okay? So, here we go again. His fellow servant did what? The same thing he did to the king. He fell down before him. He begged him for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. Now, he's just been forgiven this huge debt. And he goes out and he finds someone who owes him very little in comparison to what's been forgiven to him. He demands it. The guy does the same thing he does and goes, "Nah, I have no pity for you. I have no compassion for you." Throws him into prison until it could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. Of course, you'd be too if you saw something like this unfold. So they went to the king. They told him everything happened. "King, I know you're gracious. You forgave this guy. But you gotta understand. You gotta know what this guy did to this other guy, and you gotta do something about it." So then the king called the man in that he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you?" And then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. And Jesus just ends with kind of this cliffhanger. This is what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your hearts. Wow. Okay? But Peter's going, "Gosh, I shouldn't have asked that question. My goodness, what do I do with this now? What do I do with this? With what Jesus has just said, that all of a sudden now, this story, Jesus is the king. Jesus is saying, my heavenly Father's the king. He has forgiven this tremendous debt. And are you able to go and forgive the person who has hurt you a much smaller debt?" And all Jesus is trying to get him to do, and all Jesus is trying to get you and I to do, is get a little bit of perspective. Because if we could get a little bit of perspective, and we would understand how deep of a hole we dug ourselves in with our sin, we would understand how gracious God has been, how he paid all of that for us, and simply by asking him, he forgave it, and it was gone, and we no longer owed this massive debt that we owe. But then, isn't it true? Someone else racks up a debt against us, and we get hurt, and we get betrayed, and somebody, you know, does awful things to us, and what are we going to do with that? And so often there we are, we're stuck. How am I going to forgive that? And all Jesus is trying to get us to do here, to say if we could get a little bit of perspective, it would help us to forgive the people around us when we understand how much God has forgiven us. Now, I just want to kind of walk us kind of towards this, because I think we all need to understand that the goal is reconciliation. That's the goal in forgiveness, okay? And you just need to know, it doesn't always happen, okay? That's why we are not commanded to reconcile, because reconciliation requires a second party, okay? It requires a second party to be willing to do things in order that reconciliation can happen. And here's the thing, you can't force reconciliation. You can't. You can forgive. You can forgive. You can say, "I am no longer going to hold what you did against me," but we may never have a relationship again because we are not reconciled. Reconciliation, as I've told you before, is a financial term, okay? It is a financial term that just means balances need to be equal. And when they're not equal, something has to be reconciled to make them balanced again. So Jesus' point is there's a massive debt, and God has forgiven that so that we could be put in a right relationship with God, so we could be reconciled to him. And the goal with other people is to do the same thing, is to be reconciled. And sometimes that can't happen. I got a friend right now who's trying to help his sister, because right now his father is in hospice care with cancer, okay? And his dad in his early life was terrible. Okay, he was drunk, he was evil, he was mean. Okay, now my friend has reconciled with his father. Okay, so they are balanced again. His father came to know Christ, and through that and through a process, they were able to reconcile. His sister is not. And now guess what's happening? This thing called time is condensed. And all of a sudden, she has to make some decisions. And if she refuses to now, and he dies, there is no chance for reconciliation. There's a chance for her to forgive, but there is no chance for reconciliation and restored relationships. And I just want you to know that God desires reconciliation and to restore relationships. Because when relationships get restored, that brings glory to God. When they get restored, that brings glory to God. But again, you can't force it. The only thing you can do is forgive. So I want to kind of just help us in some very easy things that you've already probably heard, some ways that we can be moving towards forgiveness so that hopefully reconciliation will happen. Hopefully reconciliation will take place. And what has been out of balance in a relationship because of sin and hurt and pain could be restored someday to God's glory and our good if we would let Jesus step in to that. So how do we move towards forgiveness? Okay? We refuse to take revenge. Isn't that pretty simple? We refuse to take revenge. I know we'd like to, and I know our culture talks about it all the time, and it's so easy to get sucked into that. I'm going to get them back for what they did to me. But if we're going to move towards forgiveness, revenge has to be set aside. So we have a simple commandment in the New Testament. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that for the righteous anger of God. Leave that to God. Leave that to God to step in when people sin and people hurt us. Leave that to God to work and to judge and to be part of that. We need to step out of the way. Yeah, we've been hurt, they did something against us, and it'd be really easy to strike back and to lash back and to hurt back. But God says, no, don't do that. Remember, you've been forgiven this huge debt. And so you can do this. You can do this because the debt that was forgiven you is bigger than the debt that person has for you. So guess what you can do? You can refuse to take revenge. You can refuse to take revenge. You can also give up the grudge. You can also give up the grudge, okay? One is active. Revenge is more active, okay? What can I do? How can I mess them up? What hacker can I hire to just, you know, destroy their digital footprint? Okay, what can I do to them? Where grudge is more passive, and that's not really us doing stuff. It's us holding on to something. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are, what? Holding a grudge against. So that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. You know what happens when you hold a grudge? Most of you know this. You become bitter. And last I checked, none of us were just, you know, thrilled to be around bitter people. Yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to hang around every day with someone who's bitter, who's holding a grudge from about 30 years ago. Okay, person's probably dead, and they're just going to hold on to that till all eternity because you don't know what they did to me. Okay? We've all been around those people. When you hold on to a grudge, you become bitter. That's what happens. When you let it go, you release all of that. All of that can be pushed away. All of that can be taken care of. All of that can be let go. And there's just something about us, isn't it, that at times wants to hold a grudge and wants to hold against what somebody did to us. When the Bible speaks about God forgetting our sins, this is what God is doing. He is no longer holding against us what we've done. Okay? It's not that God forgets. Okay? So you get to heaven, you go up to God, hey, do you remember what David did with Bathsheba? And he's like, no, I don't remember anything about that. What happened? Okay? Here, it's in the book, Jesus, let's read. Okay? And oh my goodness, I can't believe you did that. Okay? That's not what it means. It means that God no longer holds that against us. So David is not given an account for, David, what did you do with Bathsheba? I can't believe you did that. Let's talk about that. David asked forgiveness for that. That is no longer being held against it. That's the language of a grudge, that we continue to hold against somebody what they have done to us instead of letting that go. The last one, show grace frequently. Show grace frequently. This might be one of the hardest ones, okay? But Colossians tells us that in that church in Colossae, Paul wrote this, make allowances, give space for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. All he's telling us to do is take grace and put it in those spaces. Take grace and put it in those spaces. So, because you're going to see these people, you're going to run into them, okay? Show them grace. This is what God has shown us. What did God show us when we were far from him? What did God show us when we were out of balance with him? What did God show us when we weren't reconciled with him? He showed us grace. And so those people that are out of balance with us, who have hurt us, who owe a debt to us, we ought to be showing them grace. Now, again, this is probably nothing new, right? Wow, Ed, that was wonderful. I knew all this stuff, okay? Except here's what I kept thinking all week. Why is this so hard? Why are we asking for it every year, right? Every year, why do we want to talk about forgiveness? Why is this so hard? Can you let me take a run at it for a moment? Why I think this is so hard, at least personal experience-wise. It's this word called pride. Okay? This is why it's so hard. When we get hurt, okay, we know that the other person is in the wrong. That means we're in the right. And I don't know about you, but there's part of me that just likes being right. Any of you can relate with that? You just like being right? And whatever it takes to be right, you're going to be right. Okay? Well, I don't want to talk to them because I was right. Okay? I'm right. I'm right on this topic. I was right on this subject. And so we get into, we push ourselves right into corners saying, I'm going to be right. I was right. I am right. And I'm not going to do anything about this because I'm right. Well, the question is, do we want to be reconciled or do we want to be right? Okay? What do we want to do? You want to be reconciled or you want to be right? Sometimes we get into foolish arguments all because we want to be right. I want to be right. And all I'm going to say is, when I look at my heart and that's me, that's pride. That's pride. That's reputation. That's something on the line that says, I want to be right. And there's sometimes, because Jesus taught us how to do this. Philippians 2 is all about how Jesus left everything of heaven to walk into our world. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. And that meant he didn't have to be right about everything all the time. He taught all the time. But when's he forcing people? No, disciples, I'm right. You're gonna, he just kept teaching them. Teaching them, loving them, helping them understand what it meant to follow him. And yet, you and I'm telling you, I see it in me, I just want to be right, and I put myself in such a corner that at times forgiveness becomes really hard. Because I don't want to reconcile with them, I'm right. I want them to admit I'm right, okay? If they could just admit that I'm right, we could kind of fix things and get things going again. And that makes it really hard to seek forgiveness. That means it's really hard to move forward in those painful relationships. If our number one goal is I am right, instead of God wants me to be reconciled. And in reconciliation, God is going to get glory and bring me joy when those gaps are brought back to even. So, forgiveness is simply a decision to cancel a debt. In its rawest form, Jesus is saying it's a decision to cancel a debt. To cancel a debt that's been created when someone has hurt us and gossiped about us and betrayed us. It is simply a decision to cancel a debt. So, if I may pry for a moment, who owes you a debt? Who owes you a debt that needs to be canceled? Simply because God has done it for you. And you're here this morning and we've sung about it and we've celebrated that. This is what God has done for us. And he has done everything in order that that debt be canceled. Are we willing to cancel the debt that somebody has created against us with their actions and with their words for what they have done to us? So I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes, because I want to give you a private moment to think about this. The Holy Spirit is so good at helping us understand where we're at. And I just want you to consider that question. Who owes me a debt? They talked about me, they hurt me, they did all these things. The balance is out of order. Who owes me a debt? That might be the easiest question I'm going to ask you this morning, because the second question is, why haven't you canceled that debt? Jesus went to a cross so that if we would trust in him, our debt would be canceled. And it was a large, massive debt for all that we have done to break God's commands. And that debt in Jesus, because we asked, has been canceled. Are we going to cancel the debts that have been amounted against us and swallow our pride and move towards forgiveness, with the goal being reconciliation, to see what God might do in that relationship to bring him glory and to bring us joy?